was Chronic Vibe, and you can check out more music from them at myspace.com/chronicvibe. One thing I'll miss after the Olympics are over are my weekly emails I receive from Karen, telling me the state of the Hydrogen Highway, the only route from Vancouver to Whistler, the sea to sky. This is the one from August 28, 2009, 168 days to go.
This work will result in narrow lanes and a gravel road surface until the new grade is attained and the roadway is paved.
Well, I guess you people are really working hard to get ready, Karen.
The resort municipality of Whistler's fire regulation restrictions have recently been upgraded to high hazard level, and thereby all construction activity restrictions within the forest interface have been reinstated during the higher hazard conditions.
According to the Canadian Interagency Forest Fire Centre, Inc., so far we've had 2,678 fires that have consumed over 183,000 hectares of forest. Less than a month earlier, a fire on Blackcomb Mountain forced evacuations. But you guys will be careful in the bush, won't you, Karen?
In the event of any changes to the fire regulation restrictions, an update will be forwarded to stakeholders to advise them of the changes in the hours of construction.
Like if there's another forest fire. Someone tosses a cigarette or something. Poof! So Karen, what's on tap for this week?
Grade reconstruction and hydro duct installation. Shoulder reconstruction on the west side of Highway 99. Shoulder reconstruction on the east side of Highway 99. Grinding and paving works. Rock excavation on the west side of Highway 99.
So Karen, if I had a beamer and was tooling up to the chalet for a game of golf, what am I looking at?
Short sections of lane shifts. Diversions along the length of the work area, less than 5 minute delays for traffic control personnel assisted truck access and egress, less than 15 minutes delays for offloading materials and pouring concrete backfill material.
So Karen, what's up in the future? It will get better, won't it?
Once the grading work is completed, the next phase would be to pave the surface. Due to the significant potential impacts to the traveling public, Alpine has decided to complete the work between the hours of 11 p.m. and 6 a.m. Closures include 30-minute delays during the entire shift. Temporary full closures from 3 a.m. to 5 a.m., Monday to Friday. Traffic delay impacts to the public during the scheduled works.
Man, I'm glad I don't own a beamer or play golf. Man, life must be rough for those poor guys. Well, you have a good weekend, Karen.
If you have any questions regarding the general aspects of the project and or background information, please contact Project Information. Many thanks, Karen.
So we will have to keep up with Karen's updates. So there are lots of us out here who are not down with the Olympic Games, and we strongly urge you, if you hear of the IOC sniffing around your town, send them packing. One character I won't miss is Vanock. They have been a thorn in our side since February 2003, when 86,113 out of the 293,263 registered voters in Vancouver agreed to host these games. Hey, it's the province that's going to foot the bill if these games follow Montreal's 30-year debt payments on their folly, du fou. I live in New Westminster. What about Surrey? You enjoying the game so far, Prince George? Hey, Kamloops, are you shining yet? It's your time. This was a big week last week for Vanock. So Vanock, tell us what's happening. What's going on?
The International Olympic Committee's IOC Coordination Commission for the 2010 Winter Games will be in Vancouver this week for a two-day working session and update on the Vancouver Organizing Committee for the 2010 Olympic and Paralympic Winter Games. This will be the ninth and final meeting of the commission before the games.
So who's on the committee, Vanock?
The Coordination Commission for the 2010 Winter Games is led by René Fassel.
Hey, Vanock. Is that the same René Fassel who is now under investigation that he took kickbacks on marketing deals? In a statement issued on 11th of May this year, this is what Fassel wrote.
I have, however, helped a longtime friend to offer his services to him front, and I have privately supported him in the implementation of his mandate. For example, I have helped him with opening doors in the Asian market to get access to the Asian Sports Network. The activities of the aforementioned friend were at no point connected with the contract extensions within front. Today, I realize that this likely was a case of poor judgment. For this, I apologize.
So who else is on the committee?
Fraser Boyd, Ottavio Cinquenta, Gianfranco Casper, Gunilla Lindberg, Jose Luis Marco, Sonika Zutaketa, Rita Van Driel, Pernilla Wiberg, His Royal Highness the Prince of Orange.
Wow, a real prince? We still have that? What's the qualifications for that job? You must have to study hard. So, Vanok, I hear the rich and powerful, the ILC, gave you a better cut of the swag.
The Vancouver Organizing Committee for the 2010 Olympic and Paralympic Games, Vanok, and the International Olympic Committee, IOC, confirmed today that in response to the challenges Vanok is facing raising its remaining revenues in the global economic downturn, the IOC will assist financially if the Organizing Committee has a deficit at the end of the 2010 Winter Games. However, it is important to clarify that the IOC is not guaranteeing to cover all outstanding costs or to ensure there is no deficit at the end of the Games. The IOC's support to help mitigate a possible deficit has a limit. It does not and is not intended to replace the responsibility of the Organizing Committee and its partners and other entities in respect of their obligations to stage the Games. And it remains Vanok's responsibility to manage its budget responsibly, to continue to raise revenues to the greatest extent possible and, if necessary, to cut costs in a strategic manner to maintain a balanced budget. Vanok also clarified that the IOC has fulfilled all of its obligations in respect to the top sponsorship program.
So don't jump for joy, folks. We're still on the hook. You see, the IOC owes Vanok over $30 million from the sponsors they failed to deliver. They also gave Vanok less of a cut of the television revenues than they gave Torino. The ILC is not a charity dispensing la grâce to the world's needy. David Cobb, executive vice president, said on August 27th, "This is a very supportive, generous commitment by the ILC, but in no way does it guarantee to cover all costs and any deficit at the end of the games." The government is already cutting services and raising taxes. The big problem is it'll get a lot worse after the big show leaves town. Who do you think is going to be left to clean up this mess? So who is Vanok?
Vanok is responsible for the planning, organizing, financing and staging of the 21st Olympic Winter Games and the 10th Paralympic Winter Games in 2010. The 2010 Olympic Winter Games will be staged in Vancouver and Whistler from February 12 to 28, 2010. Vancouver and Whistler will host the Paralympic Winter Games from March 12 to 21, 2010.
Oh boy, I can't wait. In other Olympic-related news, Dara Hansen reported in the Vancouver Sun on August 18, 2009, Vancouver patients needing neurosurgery, treatment for vascular diseases, and other medically necessary procedures can expect to wait longer for care. NDP health critic Adrian Dix said Monday, Dick said a Vancouver Coastal Health Authority document shows it is considering chopping more than 6,000 surgeries in an effort to make up for a dramatic budgetary shortfall that could reach $200 million. Quote, "This hasn't been announced by the Health Authority, but these cuts are coming," Dick said, citing figures gleaned from a leaked executive summary of proposed VCH surgical reductions. The Health Authority confirmed the document is genuine, but said it represents ideas only. Not a very nice idea. It is a planning document. It has not been approved or implemented, says spokeswoman Anna Maria D'Angelo. Dr. Brian Brody, president of the BC Medical Association, called the proposed surgical cuts a nightmare. "Why would you begin your cost-cutting measures on medically necessary surgery? I just can't think of a worse place," Brody said. According to the leaked document, Vancouver Coastal Health, which oversees the budget for Vancouver General and St. Paul's hospitals, among other healthcare facilities, is looking to close nearly a quarter of its operating rooms starting in September and to cut 6,250 surgeries, including 24% of cases scheduled from September to March and 10% of all medically necessary elective procedures this fiscal year. This plan proposes cutbacks to neurosurgery, ophthalmology, vascular surgery, and 11 other specialized areas. As many of 112 full-time jobs, including 13 anesthesiologist positions, would be affected by the reductions, the document says. Clearly, this will impact the capacity of the healthcare system to provide care, not just now, but in the future, Dick said. In the August 26th edition of the Vancouver Sun, Jeff Lee reported that, as the International Olympic Committee's Vancouver Commission begins its last meeting before the 2010 Winter Games, social housing activists say they want the ILC to change the way cities bid for the Olympics. saying the Vancouver Organizing Committee failed to live up to commitments to not allow the games to affect inner-city neighborhoods, the Impact on Communities Coalition, IOCC, called on the IOC Tuesday to modify its bid processes in time for the 2018 Winter Games. What we will see with the Olympics bid process time and time again is a willful neglect of the social impacts of mega events like the Olympic Games, said Am Johal, chairman of the IOCC. From Atlanta to Athens to Salt Lake City to Beijing, housing and civil liberties have been impacted, Johal said. Despite the mountain of evidence, the IOC has done nothing to address their impact on low-income individuals and neighborhoods. Alan Woods of the Ottawa Bureau of the Toronto Star reported on August 25th that Canada is considering outsourcing military work in Afghanistan and pulling soldiers from low-profile foreign missions to relieve the pressures of fighting in Kandahar, guarding the 2010 Olympics, and protecting world leaders in Muskoka. Yeah, we get the G8 bozos again strutting their stuff. According to documents obtained by the Toronto Star, more than 32,000 military personnel, about half the entire Canadian forces, will be in training or set to deploy on missions to Kandahar, the Vancouver Olympics, and next summer's G8 meeting in Huntsville between now and July 2010. That staffing burden makes it impossible to carry on current operations and still respond to the weekly requests for Canadian soldiers from the Americans, NATO, and the United Nations, the military says. It goes on to say, already military officials are considering passing some signature work in Afghanistan, such as the operation of a military college for Afghan army officers, to civilian contractors or retired soldiers. Well, mercenaries and retirees. Yeah, I want to retire in Kandahar. Canadian soldiers in Kandahar will also be ordered to train and mentor additional Afghan army battalions on the front lines without more troops, said the document obtained under the Access to Information Act. The training function was one of Ottawa's key priorities when Parliament agreed to extend the Afghan mission to 2011. A program Defence Minister Peter MacKay said just last month Canada was proud to sponsor. Canadian participation in smaller peacekeeping missions could end or be drastically cut, the memo also reveals. So fresh from the battlefields of Afghanistan, our boys will be coming to provide security for the Olympics. I hope they don't mistake me for a Taliban, because I will be with the resistance in the streets, defending my rights. Rights are taken, not given. Come and join us. I'm going to let Chronic Vibe take us out this week. Thanks for listening.
Olympics! The fucking Olympics, man. No! You're robbing a stolen land. Fucking no Olympics, a stolen native land. No 2010, no 2010. No Olympics, a stolen native land. No 2010, no 2010. No Olympics, a stolen native land. No 2010, no 2010. No Olympics, a stolen native land. No 2010, no 2010. This is for my people lashing out against the 2010 Olympic system, support by corporations, the degradation of the First Nations, and the theft of what's left in a racist invasion. Invading, persuading the media hype, make you see what they want, only sweetness and light. Well, the darkest of night descends on innocent lives, and the slasher chainsaw saw the land for a price. People all around the globe need to know the sour taste of the crops of the seeds they sow. A stone's throw from a gentric genocide, a blatant show of the blindness money can buy. Though many can try to live in alignment with lies, we refuse to retreat, we will not run to hide. We won't go out without a fight, our silence can't be bought. Look at the impact of the shoe swap, the fight that they fought.
No Olympics, a stolen native land. No 2010, no 2010. No Olympics, a stolen native land. No 2010, no 2010. No Olympics, a stolen native land. No 2010, no 2010. No Olympics, a stolen native land. No 2010, no 2010.
This one's dedicated to Harriet Nahani, who died when she tried to stop the blasting and bombing. They took her away for standing in the way. On the cold concrete in bare feet she lay. Held her for 20 days, then released her from the cage. Those who knew it and went through it felt the rage. And shortly after, pneumonia had claimed her life. The main suspect was the fact the pigs treated her trite. What right does the government have to overrule the voice of the people? No power they'll have when the people take the matters into their own hands. Backed by knowledge, organization, and strategy of plans. More than a trap, it's us versus them. Every time the people address the issue, police are called in. Oppress them, repress them, what freedom is that? The kind that you can take back, and by the way, you pay tax.
No Olympics.